This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here from Visual Dev FM, back with another episode, and we're excited you're with us. This week, we're talking with Anthony G., who you may have seen on Twitter if you're a no-coder, and he built a really awesome website called The Big Bed. And we're going to be talking to him in depth about how and why and all that. But before we get there, as always, we're going to jump into what's new in no-code. And I'm joined by my co-hosts, Matt and Lacey.
Hello.
Heyo.
And so super excited to be back talking with you all. Lots of stuff happening in no-code right now. And so we just want to like walk through everything that we saw this week. And let you know what's happening. So let's jump right in. We're going to start with Webflow. Oh my gosh, so many cool things happening here. Big updates this week. The first one is the Printful integration is here. So we actually have a post on the Visual Dev FM website that tells you how you can, it's this huge, long, complicated, very messy piece where you have all these different tools you're stitching together so that orders from a Webflow e-commerce store get delivered to Printful and automatically, Printful does all the fulfillment work. They make the item, they get it shipped for you. And it's a great way to add passive income. So if you haven't used Printful before, it's definitely worth checking out. They have a large category of products. You can essentially design things. And then when people purchase, you know, passive income, right? But now with the way the integration works, you can kind of build a store in Webflow and then you create a store in Printful and it connects the two together. And when you add products in Printful store, it automatically adds them in Webflow. And then when orders come in, those get passed through, they're automatically fulfilled and shipped. Such good stuff here. And so you can be keeping your eye out. We're gonna have some nice fine tuning new stuff coming from Visual Dev FM. And Visual Dev as a whole soon, and probably going to see a way to get some Visual Dev swag. So excited about that. If you've been like, oh my gosh, I want to start an e-commerce store and sell X, now's your chance. Definitely jump in and check it out. New from Webflow, the other thing that we have here is bulk asset deletion, which is I'm just as excited about this as I am about Printful. Essentially now in the assets manager in Webflow, where all of those files are, those things you upload, before you would have to go through and delete one by one, you can now select them in bulk, delete them in bulk. My life just got a whole lot easier. I'm so excited about it.
This is one of those features that like I have been thinking of, like, can I write like a tamper monkey script or something to like work around? Like, I've wanted this for so long, and I'm so glad it's here. And Kyle Shevlin is the engineer that worked on it, and he responded to my tweet about this, and he said, I believe if you start selecting one, you can multi-select a bunch of images at once. Which is a little pro tip. I'll share that tweet in the show notes. But so happy this is here. It's like, it's one of those things that like, we talk about this a lot internally, but it's like, it saves an amount of time in the short term, but it also saves an amount of time in the long term. Cause the 10 minutes, the 5 minutes that I have to spend deleting assets from someone else's project that I might have cloned, like that compounds over time. And that's just like, it's all about these little features to me. And it's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I love Webflow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lacey.
I was going to say, I've been trying to wrap up a large project and we've started in Webflow with doing some prototypes and just initial designs and, you know, went that route first. And so there's just so much junk in there that we decided not to go with. And I was thinking before I have to hand off this project to them, I'm going to have to go in and hand delete every single one of these. And that's going to be such a huge, you know, just waste of time. So when I saw this, I was like, yes, like this is going to save me so much time.
Yeah, it's great, especially like long-term. Like I think about like a project that like you build something and then, you know, it's been live 6 months, it's been live 8 months, it's been live a year, you know, it's been live 2 years, and you know, you make changes, clients make changes, and you end up with a ton of files that you just don't need. Cleaning them up just became a lot easier. Super excited about that. Ryan Morrison shared a trick on Twitter. So he's with the Webflow brand design team, and is, if he's like an incredible designer and so good, and been a huge part of who Webflow is visually, you know, from a very early stage. And so really, really cool whenever he shares tips and tricks. And he shared about SVGs, using SVGs with Webflow and working with Figma as well. This is something that I do a lot, and it's using current color to let Webflow control the color of your icons or of your logos or artwork or any vector items that you might have. Really cool. It's a it's a thread worth checking out. So link in the show notes. Definitely go go hit that up and learn something new. MemberStack. MemberStack announced that V3 of reCAPTCHA is now built into MemberStack. It's hidden and requires no action from members. And it's just a part of all MemberStack projects now, which is really cool. So no more spam, no more bots with your MemberStack projects. This is really cool. So props to their team. This is a huge deal. I know it's going to be such a help, a big help for a lot of people. So super stoked about that coming out.
Did you
Shopify also- is... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's the second time I'm supposed to raise my hand and I'm doing what Matt does. I'm sorry. did you see that MemberStack.js is now compatible with Internet Explorer 11, which means so it'll work with your older browsers? And I just thought that that was such like a... That was such a nice thing that they did for those people who refuse to let go of Internet Explorer, that they make it compatible with that browser. Anyway, I had to throw that in there so we didn't overlook it.
No, no, that's a good point. I intentionally don't design for Internet Explorer 11 because I hate it so much. In fact, I charge more. Like, I don't know if we talked about this in the pricing your projects. I charge more if I have to deal with any IE11. Anyway, but yeah, that's cool that they did that. It's awesome that just makes it more accessible for more people. Very, very cool that they did that. Shopify. Shopify is going full remote. And so Toby tweeted about this. He said, as of today, Shopify is a digital by default company. We will keep our offices closed until 2021 so that we can rework them for this new reality. And after that, most will permanently work remotely. Office centricity is over. This was a really interesting tweet. And I think it's cool that Shopify is doing this. And I just think it's an awesome thing to learn as, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to build a product, you're using no code to do that or what have you, like just knowing that they're being a fully remote company is becoming easier every day, every week, every month. And this reality that we're living in, there's just a lot of people making an adjustment, a lot of new tooling, a lot of new processes. It's so cool to see, but also just seeing other companies going, hey, you know what? Like, we don't even need an office in order to make this work, and really rethinking maybe your model of how you were approaching a project or a product and what you were going to do. I just think it's neat. Super cool tweet. You can hit the link in the show notes. Definitely worth checking out. Podia, which is they're an LMS. And I don't know if this is necessarily no code. I'm just always fascinated by what people use and how they get things done. And so Podia LMS, they're 5 years old now. And in fact, we use Spencer, who built Podia, also, well, side tangent. I don't even need to go down there. But he tweeted about like the tools they're using, and it's a thread. And just literally, he'll talk about operations, design, development. And he lists all the different things that they're using as a company. So if, once again, if you're an entrepreneur and you're growing or you're trying to get your business to a certain destination, you just kind of want to peek in behind the curtain of what other SaaS companies are doing and the tools that they use, this is really great to check out and worth your time to go read. So definitely check that out. And that's, I've read this tweet thread like 4 times already, and just kind of trying to wrap my mind around how other people work. It's so interesting. I love it. The future is no code, which we had an entire episode about, where we talked to the team from Adalo. We talked to David, and This past week, Tara Reed, who we had on the podcast not too long ago, if you haven't checked out that interview, definitely go back and listen. They released her interview talking about the future of no code, and also Vlad, founder, one of the founders and CEO of Webflow, his interview came out this week. So if you haven't seen those, definitely you want to go check those out. If you go to Adalo.com, they have a banner up at the top of the page that'll point you to the future is no code. But there's also a link in the show notes if you want to get there. This week, Sergio from Elliott and Brian from DraftBit are going to be released. Their interview is going to be released. So if you're curious about what they have to say about what no-code is and about where it's headed, it's definitely something you want to check out. JetBoost, Chris Bags. I don't even know what he's doing. I feel like he's on some glide level flow right now where it's like every week there's something new. But he posted this week on Twitter about how JetBoost search filters just became more powerful. Like, you can now create a section that shows which filters have been applied. So essentially have a sidebar with your filters, people click on them, and then it shows little pills, or, you know, however you want to design that show up top that show what filters have been added, and then people can click those away and remove those, which is a really cool, nice little feature. And he threw in, this is perfect for your brand new Webflow Printful e-commerce store. So if you want to check that out, link in the show notes to go see that. But it's a super cool addition and an upgrade to the product. And I can't wait to try to actually have a project I've been working on, and this is going to be perfect for it. So I can't wait to give it a spin. Figurative. So we're Figma fans here at Visual Dev. We use it a lot in our own, just internally, and then with projects we're working on, and we have the conversation all the time about, and Matt is obsessed with his iPad Pro, I'm obsessed with my iPad Pro, and we're always like listening in on the conversations about what people are doing there, like building with Webflow or trying to build with Webflow. And there was a tweet this week where it's love Figma, love your iPad Pro, meet Figurative. It's a desktop class editor experience from Figma to iPad OS ready to, you know, work with Magic Keyboard or mouse, and it's free. I haven't given it a run yet, but I can't wait to check it out and see what it's like. Matt, have you used it?
I have not. As much as I love my iPad Pro, I'm still questioning on whether it can actually be a replacement for a laptop. Like, could I go to a coffee shop and work on a Webflow project because iPad OS now supports, you know, drag and drop support? No, because I tried Webflow on iPadOS, which is a whole another story, and it's not super great. I hope this works cool, like, well. I think it'd be cool, like, to make design changes on the go, but, like, I don't know if I would use it in, like, a dedicated session, just because I like the routine and ease of being able to design on my computer. That said, I still think it's a cool thing, and, like, anyone that can figure out how to fix the issues with designing on iPad, like the experience of it, props to them. And I'm sure I'll use it. I just don't know if it'll be my daily driver.
I don't know if it's going to replace your laptop, but
I guess iPads in general, or like that software?
I would just say iPads in general right now, just where they stand. Kind of
interesting.
I mean, you think about the horsepower that, like, I almost melt my MacBook Pro on a weekly basis trying to do something, right? And like, yeah, I can't imagine. You know, but at the same time, I think, like, this is great for people who are content creators, you know, like,
right.
If you have some templates set up in Figma to, like, export assets for digital or for blog posts or for different things, you can jump in, switch out images, change some copy on an image, export, right. You know, you're writing on your iPad Pro already, and to be able to just kind of jump in and publish that, or at least prepare it for publish and get all those things ready, I think turns you into kind of a power user, not, you know, doesn't need as much battery, you know, lasts longer, being able, sure, to kind of work that way. Oh, it's,
yeah,
cool.
Definite pros. Yeah, for sure.
This is making me feel like I am not utilizing my iPad Pro to its fullest capabilities, because for the past 6 months, it's been serving as my kid's, like, you know, entertainment device. And so I'm thinking that I have way underutilized this tool. So I'm interested to check it out. I don't know that I'd, you know, use it, you know, that often, but it could be handy, something fun to play with anyway.
I love my iPad Pro. I do a lot of writing there. I feel like it's really good for me. I can put in do not disturb mode. And if I'm writing a doc or I really need to focus or provide feedback on a doc, it's really easy for me to dial in and just write in that space. I don't know. I love it. I have a keyboard for it, and it's a keyboard case where it's wonderful. You know, it's if I'm just writing or just trying to process thoughts or words, it's still one of my favorites. I do a ton of reading, so I read online as well. And just general internet browsing. But, you know, there's some art, like I do like to draw. I have some apps that I work on there with, but, you know, I'm definitely going to try this app out because if it can do some cool things like that, like I'm just kind of curious to test the power. So seems pretty awesome. Next up, Bubble. And actually this is like Bubble, Zapier, Webflow, Wired had an article about no code, and Emmanuel from Bubble tweeted, I guess no code is getting mainstream if Wired covers it. It was great to see Bubble described as a pioneer of this new space after all these years. I'm sure it is after all that hard work, you know. Webflow mentioned there, Zapier mentioned there, but just talking about the no code space in general. If you haven't read that article, definitely go check it out. It is worth your time. As always, link in the show notes. I did see this tweet this week that really spoke to me. And it's kind of like, it's why we started doing this podcast. I just love seeing the aha moments from people just talking about what no code is and highlighting what the community is and sharing some of these things that are happening. But this was from someone, Mike H on Twitter, who tweeted, I started off the week by finding Webflow and having my mind blown. Then I spent the last 6 hours absolutely glued to my computer checking out the whole no code world. I've barely cracked the surface, my mind blown times 87. He said, my world is a lie. So many new doors just opened. Signed, a coder, which I think is so cool. You know, we talk about it all the time. Like, it doesn't have to be code or no code. It can be both. And it's fun to see people who are engineers or developers finding the value in no code tools and really turning them up and taking them to the next level. And it's also fun to see people who aren't coders pick up something and really make something great or new when they haven't done that before. I don't know if you ever feel like you get lost in the content of no code or there's just overwhelmed by everything that's happening. It's fun to see those tweets and see people like kind of connect and have those aha moments because really like the whole movement, this is what it's about. It's helping people, you know, level up and be able to do more with less. And so really loved this tweet. Link in the show notes. Definitely go check it out. Code Crumbs is finally live. I've seen this around and it is up and running. And it's codecrumbs.co. And it's a website that is, and I think, is this Noah, correct?
Yeah, this is Noah and FinSuite.
Yeah, and he collaborated with FinSuite on this. And it's a code snippet library for Webflow, and it's 100% free, built with Webflow and MemberStack, so you can go create an account, log in. They have a ton of code snippets that are going to be great for your, you know, your Webflow project. So if you've been looking for kind of a place, a repository of code snippets that you think would be helpful with Webflow, this is definitely a site to go check out. You know, go hit it up and sign up. They have all kinds of things. You get to the recent code crumbs, it's like frost blurs and reveal submit button when email is validated and just all dynamic copyright years and all kinds of fun little things that are super, super helpful and really add a lot of polish to your project. And so definitely want to go check that out. No code video and Raymar. So two things for them. One, Raymar interviewed Joe from FinSuite this week. And so you don't want to miss that video and that interview. If you haven't seen it yet, head on over and check that out. It is a great interview. And then also more than 100 people have already signed up for Clone Comp. And we've talked about this here on the podcast. We're going to talk about it some more because this is going to be really cool. But Clone Comp is essentially, it's a self-guided community challenge designed to test your Webflow skills and help you just connect with other no-coders. And so if you haven't jumped in on that competition yet, there's a link in the show notes on how you can go find out what it's about and figure out what is required of you and then sign up and to join and be a part of it. We're excited about following along and seeing all the things that come out of it. Lots of cool awards and rewards that are going to come out of this. And so, and it's free. It's just something for you to jump in and have fun with. So definitely go check that out. And finally, FinSuite. This one blew my mind. I saw this and was, Joe's tools that he's been building to go with Webflow never cease to amaze me. And we talked about the CMS tool last week and some of the cool things that come from that. He posted on Facebook this week. So there's a link in the show notes to where you can go see this. And his post is, you know, imagine adding and removing classes with Webflow interactions, which I can't tell you as a Webflow employee how many times I get asked about this specific feature. You know, when is it going to be available? Is this something you're going to do? Because it could be super helpful, and it is unbelievable. But his team has been working on this. They now have like a visual builder available that you can jump into, where you can basically say, you know, talk about the class that you want to add or toggle, and basically put in all the specifics, and it gives you the code that you need to make that happen. This is unbelievable. I really, really, really love this. So I think everybody here has something to say about this. So
This is dope, first of all. I think anything that, again, helps people, even if I know how to code, like even if I knew how to write this, it's so nice to be able to use a tool like this to help me. But one thing I wanted to add that I actually forgot to add to our outline is that FinSuite also launched SuiteJS. The URL is suitejs.io. And it's essentially, if you're using a FinSuite product like what we just mentioned here, they will help you fix it for free. And so you just join their Slack. It's very controlled. Like, you can't ask questions that are not related, which I love. Like, it has to be about a FinSuite product. But if you have an issue trying to do something, you know, a tutorial there is a FinSuite hacks, code crumbs. If you have an issue with a code crumb, they will help you resolve it 100% for free via Slack. And I love it. I love everything that Joe Krug's working on. Shout out to him and the team.
Definitely. We need to have Joe on the podcast so bad with all that he's pushing out. And it just, I love that this is coming out into the community for free for people who need to level up their projects and add some custom code who don't, you know, they're not writing it. And that it's so centered around like practical use cases for your projects. It's not this like pie in the sky kind of things. Like, let me teach you how to rebuild Airbnb or Instagram or something like that. It's more like very practical. Here are things that enhance your projects. Here's how you can learn to read code snippets, work with code snippets. And it just makes me so thrilled that he's putting all this out into the community in collaboration with others too.
Yeah, and it's also awesome just because it's another website that you get to see that FinSuite helped build. They do such great work, and this website is so dope and definitely worth checking out. But they do so much great work, and included in that is the CMS library we talked about, the Webflow hacks, CodeCrumb, and they've got a user system tutorial coming soon. So if you need help with any of that, definitely go check this out. But if you've ever wanted to control classes with interactions, this is a tool you need to go look at. It is unbelievable, super powerful. And it never ceases to amaze me what they release, because it's so good, high quality. And like you said, Lacey, just really like down to earth. If you're a Webflow power user, somebody who really loves using Webflow, you know, you're always going to get some incredible value from it. What I love is it's somebody who's already in this community building and doing incredible work, taking what they've learned and then turning around and just, you know, I wrote all this code, let me just go ahead and give it to the community so that they can do some of these things too. I think that's super kind. And I think that's really speaks to what the Webflow community and the no code community at large really is all about. You see so many no coders going out of the way to help other people and to try to explain what's happening or how they can accomplish something. And so love this. I think it's so great. And link in the show notes if you want to go check it out. So that's our no-code roundup, unless I forgot something, which I may have. I think that's it. Like I said, this week we have an interview with Anthony G. And if you haven't seen this website, we'll have obviously a link in the show notes for you to go check this out. it is one of, it may be my new favorite Webflow website of all time. It's just so incredible. The work he did rebuilding this book within Webflow using interactions and the audio recordings and all the different pieces. It's just a magical, wonderful experience. And I was just blown away. Also loved talking to Anthony because he is so kind. Everyone, Anthony is so kind and humble and unbelievably talented. So hit him up on Twitter, definitely give him a follow and definitely check out this project because it is so great.
He's one of those people that I would literally bet on, like, to be like the one of the smartest, kindest, and like most skilled people in the no code Webflow space. Mm-hmm. In the next 1, 3, 5 years, like, this guy is going to crush. So if you if you want to, you know, be a part of that, you should go follow him because he's about to blow up.
Yeah, and if you're looking for somebody to work with, like, I don't know what he's doing on that front, but like, just this project just shows the kind of creativity, muscle, and ingenuity he has. And like I said, just in the midst of all that, incredibly kind and humble. We really enjoyed talking to him. We think you're going to love this interview. So definitely stick around and listen, and we will catch you all next week. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Visual Dev FM. We're excited today to be talking to Anthony G. He is the creator of a Webflow site called The Big Bed. You probably saw it. It got a lot of buzz, a lot of people talking about it. A really incredible design. So we wanted to have him on to talk about what he built. And so, Anthony, thanks for joining us today. We're so stoked to have you here, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Big fan from day one.
Thank you. It means a lot. Appreciate it. It means a lot, yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into design? And, you know, specifically, how did you get into building for the web?
Yeah, so I've been doing like website or designing for pretty much my whole life. I really started as an artist, really just drawn to comic books and stuff like that as a kid. And then once I was in high school, my teacher said, "Yo, you should take this this skill set and apply it to computers." At the time, I had no idea what it was. And she mentioned like I should go to college and study graphic design. Again, I had no idea what that was, and I went ahead and did it, and that was like pretty much a game changer, changed my life. Fell in love with graphic design, and then from there, really just honed my skills into like web design. Out of college, landing my first job, building a lot of websites, and then really just kind of focused my skill set, and then really just fell in love with like web design.
That's awesome. You were drawn to comic books. What comic books? That's what I want to know.
Mostly Spider-Man. So they're mostly like hand-me-downs from my uncles. Spider-Man, Hulk, the Avengers. Yeah, stuff like that. So just taking that and kind of drawing them on paper. Yeah, it's really just into that.
I love Spider-Man. And I love the newest Spider-Man, the Into the Spider-Verse. I love the look of that movie so much. Off on a tangent. So you were building for the web, designing for the web. How did you go from that to Webflow and no code?
Webflow. Okay. I'm going to say like I am an unofficial ambassador for Webflow. I preach the gospel of Webflow every day at work. And I've been a part of like Webflow since beta. Similar to your background, like prior to Webflow, I used to hand code a lot of my sites, like with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. I learned how to do that on the side because I was really getting frustrated with like handing off designs over to devs and kind of like getting mixed in translation. So I was like, let me learn how to code. And then going through that route, I learned a lot. But when I seen Webflow and I was like, okay, this is going to change everything. I just knew right away. Back then it was like doing one pagers, but you can still very interactive. Like it was just something that I've never seen before. And I was just immediately drawn to it. So that pretty much changed everything for me. Like it changed everything.
Same. I was in the same boat. Like as soon as I saw it, It was this like this is a different world. It's just the tool itself is so good and so powerful.
Yeah.
So the Big Bed, what inspired this build? Was it for client work? Was it just for fun? Was it like where did the inspiration come from? And did you just dream this up yourself? Like I'm so curious.
Yeah, it's so funny. So I received that book as a gift. Well, sorry, my wife received that book as a gift from her sister. And she's teaching our little son how to read right now. So she got that book as a gift for Christmas, and she kept reading it to him like every night. And she was so animated with the way she was reading it. And I was noticing that. I'm like, I should kind of like do something with that. So being like a designer, I was like, okay, let me kind of take this into a medium that I'm comfortable in. And I just took the book and I just pretty much created an interactive story from it. No real inspiration, just the fact that my wife was really animating while reading it to our son. And I wanted to have him pretty much have him kind of go to this website if he wanted to and kind of play it for himself. And believe it or not, he was really involved in like the little animations and the voiceovers. I was asking for his opinion, like, do you like this? He's like, yeah, Dad, this looks great. Or maybe you should do this or do that. I'm like, okay, cool. So he was really involved and really loved it from the jump too.
Lacey, go for it. What was your son's initial reaction here?
At first he didn't understand what I was doing.
Gotcha.
But then throughout, as he's seen it start to like develop, then he was more involved and was really excited for what I was doing. Until this day, he still wants to like go on and just play with it because he knows that's his mom's voice reading it to him right now. I kind of did a bit of editing to it to kind of make it sound like a kid, but he's still stoked about it.
I love it so much. I think it may be one of my favorite Webflow sites websites ever that I've seen. I have two little girls and I've read that book before. When I saw it, I was like getting tears in my eyes. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. How long did it take you to build that?
Oh man. So I started so here's a little backstory. This all kind of started from the No Code Conference, to be honest. Like after leaving the No Code Conference, I told my wife that I had like two kind of goals after leaving there. I was really motivated to just do way more work in Webflow. I was doing work in Webflow prior to that, but I was really driven by just like the talks that I seen at Webflow. Sorry, at the No Code Conference. And my second goal was to kind of, I told my wife, I don't know if this is gonna ever happen, but I was like, yo, next year or the year after, I wanna be like a guest speaker. So that was one of my goals. So coming back, I just was so motivated to work on this. And I started we received the gift or the book in December. And then in January, I started working on it on my spare time. Just kind of figuring out how I'm gonna like tackle this. Cause I had no idea what I was gonna do. I just knew I wanted to take this book and kind of like put it on the web. From January till, I guess a couple weeks. So about like four months, really.
Wow. That's incredible. It makes me wonder if this could be like, if you could usher in a new way that we experience books or that children experience, learning online, because it brought it to life. Your animations, everything just felt so real and tangible.
Yeah. Once I was working on, I had like, I guess, bigger plans. I was like, oh, maybe this could be a thing. But I had no idea I was going to get the reaction that I got, which was really alarming. Cause I'm super active in the community, in the No Code community, but I don't really say much. I'm just mostly like listening and watching the tweets and stuff like that. But once I tweeted that and the response I got was a bit overwhelming, to be honest. But I'm glad everyone enjoyed it, though. It was kind of cool.
That's so awesome. So I want you to talk a little bit about how you built the animations, because their page load, their mouse movement, there are some repeating elements like the coffee cup and the cat, you know, you see continued playing. Like, are those Lottie? How did you build those? Like, what did that look like?
Okay. So Yeah, a lot of like experimentation, really. So my first initial was to make it a lot of animation, but I couldn't make it transparent, and the file size was getting too big for the Lottie size, so I had to use an alternative. Obviously, I went to with the GIF format and kind of like optimized that in a way. But I first started in After Effects. That was my first initial start, and then from there I exported it as Lottie, tested that out. The file size was getting too big, so I kind of optimized it as a GIF. But yeah, all the little animation started in After Effects, and then everything else was done in Webflow.
That's so cool. The animations were great. So take us through it from the start. Like when you have this idea and you start thinking through things, like, I'm going to storyboard this and try to like figure out how the animations look.
Yeah.
You know, did you start like sketching by hand? What was that whole, I'm always curious about what people's process is from the start, just how they get things moving.
Yeah. So I did exactly that. So again, I had this physical book in my hand, and I went ahead and bought the digital version of it. And from there, I kind of just mapped all the pages, and then I did quick little animations for each page, kind of figuring out, okay, I'm gonna animate this coffee cup in the corner, or animate the cat's tail. So page by page, kind of animated every single sequence. But then I first did little rough sketches of that. And then the first page, I kind of did a full out, I guess, proof of concept to kind of see how it was gonna look like from the loading screen to the first page, to see how that would look and kind of figure out the transitions and all that. And then once I've kind of developed a certain, I guess, pattern for each page, kind of applied the same sequence to like the entire pages pretty much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was a bit of I know we kind of talk about like no code, and but there was a bit of code for the audio part of it. I was trying to see if I could do it in Webflow, but I was like, I don't think I could. So kind of had to use my, I guess, JavaScript skills to kind of dust that off and write a bit of code to kind of get the audio playback working.
I was curious about that. So my next two questions, in fact, the very next question I've written in the outline is, there's a lot of custom code. Are you using plugins? Did you write it yourself? So you sort of answered that, and you already answered like where you got the audio from. It sounds like your wife did the recording there, but
yeah.
Is there a specific library you used for playing the audio and mapping that out to the interaction? What was that like?
Yeah. So the first step was doing the mock-ups, and then once that was established, done in Webflow, then I kind of treated it like as a studio. asked my wife if she could do the audio for me, and she said sure. So we kind of like boarded up our little basement, used my Google phone, recorded the audio, cleaned it up, brought it into Adobe Audition. Did some effects, cleaned it up again, brought it into the exact process is this. So I downloaded all the audio files, I placed it on GitHub, and then I took the link from GitHub, and from the script that I'm using, it's pulling the audio, and then it's kind of going through an array for each of those sentences, and then playing those key points within that array. Yeah, that was pretty much it. So figuring that out kind of took a while, and yeah, it was definitely a process, and there wasn't really anything I could look up. It was just kind of like
you're the first one to do it.
Figuring it out pretty much.
This is super interesting because it's like very well thought out. Were you doing a lot of pre-planning, or are you just figuring it out as you went along and you kind of had like a rough vision, you were just shaping it as you went?
I was kind of shaping it as I went. Like the first page, I used that as a proof of concept. And then All the other pages were kind of unique within itself. So I really want to emphasize the story because I just fell in love with the story. And I really wanted to kind of just emphasize like what the author, I should mention, I'm not the original author of this story or even illustrator, but I kind of really wanted to just emphasize what the author was relaying within the story. So every page, I kind of imagined it in my head and then visualized it through, again, After Effects and stuff like that. But it definitely was working on the first page. The second page was different from the previous page. And nothing was pretty much the same throughout the entire process, really.
Yeah. Was it hard to stay motivated when it's like, that's a project, like it's like a passion project, but then like, it's a very difficult project that you did. And, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, when you hit roadblocks and stuff, and it's like, I can't figure this out. How do I do it? Was that difficult for you?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question, because I think figuring out the loading sequence from there to the first page took me maybe like 2 weeks to figure that out. And I was talking to one of my other friends. He's also a designer as well. I was getting a lot of feedback from him as well. I almost stopped, really, because I didn't know how I wanted to attack it, really. I didn't know if it wanted to be scroll-based or if I wanted to make it click-based, because I was thinking, as how would a child kind of interact with this book? So I was thinking about maybe I can make it scroll-based, but that wasn't working. So I was like, okay, maybe I can simulate like a page transition with the buttons on to navigate through the pages. So it was definitely, there was points and times where I was kind of not motivated to kind of work on it, but as it went along, I kind of seen the bigger picture, and it just I kind of just really wanted to finish it for my son, really.
That's so awesome. So you've been using Webflow since beta, so you've been using it a long time. How long did it, because I've, okay, so I'll say this, I know a lot of people who've used Webflow for a long time who would struggle to build what you build, like you know, interactions work is fun, but it can be intricate and detailed and hard. How long did it take for you to really feel like you had the interactions chops to be able to pull off this kind of a build?
To be honest, I've been using it from day one. So I've kind of grown with the interactions, right? I've seen where it was and where it is now.
Interactions 1.0 versus IX 2.0, man.
And yeah, there was a lot of workarounds with the first interaction. So I've kind of seen it grown. So in terms of being comfortable with it, I'm really comfortable with the interactions. And a lot of even parts of Webflow is this pretty much, like you've guys mentioned this before, it's like an abstraction of HTML and CSS, but just either really just visualized. I'm super comfortable with it, but it really came... It was just more, it allowed me to kind of be more free and kind of really prototype the whole process, really, and kind of figure out, is it going to be this way or is it going to be that way? And that's why I love Webflow. It's just, it's a one-to-one like connection, and what you put in is exactly what you're going to get out. And I've said this before, I think I tweeted this, but I feel Webflow, it allows you to be really, there's no limit to Webflow. The only limit to Webflow is your creativity, really, in my opinion. So if you can imagine it, 99% of the time, you can pretty much pull it off in Webflow.
So, for sure. I love that. I think that is dead on to, you know, what Webflow is all about too. Piggybacking off of Ben's question, I am exactly who he described. I am the person who has been using Webflow for a long time, but if I have to change like opacity and move, like if I do interactions, I'm bad at them. So like, what advice do you have for someone like me that might be like, you know, we got the chops for the front end and like literally the structure and the layout, but like, I don't have any interaction sense, if I'm being honest. Like your stuff is just, will lap mine any day. So okay. Where should I start in bettering my skills?
Okay, that's a good question. It depends on what you're doing, right? So I would start off with the click interactions, for instance. Like, have an object, you want an object to turn blue. So start with that. That's the very most basic, I guess, interaction you can do. Click this and something happens. And then from there, you can go on to like scroll interactions or mouse interactions. But they're all just little pieces and little steps. And when you combine all of them, you get this, I guess, entire interaction. But when you start with the smaller blocks of it, and then you think about do this and something would happen, it's pretty much like input output scenario. And when you piece that in all together, you get like a bigger experience. That's kind of how I would approach it. I'm not sure if that's the best advice, but start small.
I love that. Yeah.
And get bigger.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea, because it's one of those things like start with the micro interactions. Or I really wish, and for those of you who are listening, have been playing with Webflow since the beginning, like they have all these different playgrounds they've released from time to time. And I'll never forget when Flexbox came out.
Oh,
they had a Flexbox game that you would play, and an interactions game, I think, for the micro interactions could be fun too. Like, you know, make the button move here on click, or make the div do this on click. Maybe that's something I need to tackle, putting together something fun or something. It'd be cool. That's a great answer. So what other projects are on the horizon for you? Well, you know, what else are you working on, and what are you excited about?
Oh yeah. So I'm always working, to be honest. And right now I'm working on a wedding website right now. I'm redoing my wedding website, and I'm pretty much going to just have fun with that, kind of explore different disciplines, maybe like add in a lot of 3D into that, and really utilize Lottie again for this, possibly. And besides that, I'm working on other few things, but that's kind of like my main focus right now. And what I'm really excited about, really just the future of Webflow, man. Just really being a part of this whole community, because prior to this community, I've always kind of felt like, okay, so I'm a designer, but I can code, and I never knew where to fit in. Like, sometimes I'll be kind of forced into, oh, you can only design. I'm like, yeah, cool, I want to design, but I also want to code. So just being a part of this whole community kind of really gave me, I don't know, like a community to be a part of. And it's like the best feeling when you can just go online or on Twitter, ask a question, and like you get so much feedback, and it's amazing, really. So yeah, I'm just really excited about just being a part of this community and watching it grow even further. And Vlad's vision, I think that guy's a genius, man. Where he sees Webflow at, where he wants it to be, I'm super excited for that. Like, that is, yeah, I want to be still around when that's happening and still designing.
Out of curiosity, what would you want to see from Webflow?
Oh man,
what's your top three features?
Or
improvements? That's possible too.
Yeah, top three features. Okay. You guys kind of mentioned it.
Yeah, go for it.
I kind of really like the interactions. So this is more of a selfish thing for me. I would love for Webflow to be really integrate 3DJS. And you guys are kind of getting in that direction with Lottie, which is a really nice step. What else? I would love for Webflow to be, I know you guys mentioned this once before too, Webflow to kind of really get into like more applications, so building full applications from within Webflow, which would be awesome. And I think you mentioned this in a previous podcast, Webflow becoming Amazon of everything, which, I mean, why not? Why not?
I love that. I think those are all good features. As somebody who works at Webflow, I'm gonna keep my mouth shut about it. I love your vision. So if you guys have ever chatted with Anthony on Twitter, what have you, you'll know that, first of all, it's at Anthony G. Go hit him up on Twitter, link in the show notes. You go follow him. He needs you to follow him. You want to follow him. It's got good stuff coming from him, and he builds great things, so you definitely want to be up on that. And then his portfolio is available at anthonygrants.com. Also linked there, and it is a fire portfolio. I really love it. It's so good. And so definitely need to go check out all his work, and make sure you're keeping up with all the fun stuff that he's pushing out, because this is not going to be the last amazing site we see from Anthony. We're going to see more for sure. And so, Anthony, we appreciate you. We're so thankful for the time you took to spend with us and to chat with us about this build and what you're doing and your work. And we look forward to seeing more from you in the future.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the show. It's definitely needed within our community. And you guys are doing an amazing job, man. Keep it up.
Appreciate that.
Thank you
so much. Appreciate you. All right. We'll talk to you all later. Bye. Good.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.